I'm Chris, the co-host of True Believers, a comic book podcast, our weekly show about all things comics and loosely pop culture. As you know, we've been on hiatus since last year because of our own personal issues and because of unsurety in the direction we want to take True Believers in. And sadly, my best friend and co-host Andrew can't be with me full time right now. And Alana's very busy. So when I said she'd be back this week, I lied. I'm joined by my little Nizzy. Hello, Nizabelle.
Hello. Hi, my little Chris.
All right. So like I've been saying, I'm sure that anyone listening to a comic book podcast knows about Dungeons & Dragons, the fantasy role-playing game made in the 80s by Gary Gygax and Dave Arneson, originally published by TSR, now Wizards of the Coast. In honor of the fourth live-action Dungeons & Dragons film, Honor Among Thieves, that's releasing this Friday. Nizabelle's here with me to talk about Teen Titans Go's own forays in its tabletop role-playing games. In episode 50 of season 3, Riding the Dragon, we tackle the worst part of tabletop role-playing games. Toxicity.
Yay!
Yay! You can't see it. We just gave each other the little finger hearts in the camera. So what would you say the story was about, Isabel?
This story was about Robin learning to let go and stop following the rules and stop being toxic because he sucked the life out of the game. They just wanted to ride a dragon. Why can't he just let them ride a dragon?
Yeah, they're playing a game called, what was it, Dragon Flight or Dragon Path or something?
It's Dragon Fires. Dragon's Fire.
Dragon's Fire, yeah. And they're playing it quote-unquote wrong. And so Robin pulls out this thick tome of a rule book. And he's like, you have to follow all of the rules. You got to follow the rules, or else, like, the rules are fun. And they're like, okay, well, we want to ride a dragon. And he's like, no, what you're going to do is you're going to go through this dungeon and through this forest, the forest of to look for a key. And they're like, is it a magic key? And he's like, no, it's a regular key. Does it open a magic door? No, it opens a regular door. And they're like, so unexcited. And so whenever they start to act in ways that he doesn't like, he literally like slams down their game board so hard that it becomes a portal and they get sucked inside, which is why I picked this, because when me and Iman did Dungeons and Dragons, they got on the roller coaster, ended up in Forgotten Realms, and Die, obviously they start playing as kids, end up sucked into the world of Die. So
yay. Also, what do you call it, I was watching the episode and literally Raven Starfire Cyborg and Beast Boy was just us playing D&D. And then it was and then Robin was Iman going, oh my god guys, shut up. Shut up, listen to Chris.
Except Iman is usually in the right, okay, except for that time during the Grammys country apple pie debacle. Because that was a travesty. I like, people always ask, anybody who follows us on Twitter anyway, like my actual friends, they always ask like, what led to me posting all that stuff about how you guys were villains? And I was like, I was just trying to run Grammy's country apple pie. First of all, there were so many levels to this because I made you guys roll to see if I would even, what's the word, if I would even internalize the request to bone the goblin or like to seduce it. And then I was like, no, you guys have to make a group roll. I was like, no. I put up so many barriers. I was like, okay. Then I made you guys all roll individually. And Andrew was like, good, I bowed out. And then I made you and Iman roll as a group. And then one of you rolled a nat 20. So then I had to like, I was like, I'm punishing everybody for this. Everybody's getting punished.
And guess what? We fucked that goblin and we got the apple pie recipe. So
I know, it was, don't you remember, there was no sex. It was like he wanted you to put your hands on his third nipple and roll it around like a joystick. Yeah, I punished everybody. And then I made like these screeching goblin noises like yeah.
But at least we got the recipe.
Listen,
it was worth it. I would do it again. I would do it again.
Ha ha ha. Anyway, so the end of the episode, like, literally, Robin rushes them through everything fun, cool, and or beautiful in this game. He rushes them right through it. And then they get to the final dragon's lair. And they're like, we don't give a crap what you have to say. We are gonna ride the dragon. So they, like, they start all climbing onto the dragon's back. And Robin is, like, yelling at them. And he slams his little staff on the ground, wakes the dragon up. And the dragon's like, oh, you thought you were brought here because they weren't following the rules? No, Robin, you need to learn how to have fun. And then, wait, he sat on the dragon's back. Then they sang a song. Then the dragon turned and was like, well, now I'm going to fry you.
And then they got fried. All they wanted to do was ride the dragon. He just wanted to ride that dragon. And they got fried.
It was such a random episode, but it reminded me of how, like, you know all those little stories that I like to, well, okay, they're not on Reddit. To be fair, they're not on Reddit. They're from Reddit, but me and Isabella both are addicted to those, like, random Reddit stories where on TikTok where people are playing, like, Subway Surfers and all kinds of other random games, especially the one where they, like, jump across the platforms. I think that might be, like, a Minecraft offshoot. I don't know. I don't know enough about what the kids are doing, but, like, Nisabel gets all the Am I the Asshole ones, and I get those too, but then I also get all the ones that are from the Dungeons and Dragons subreddit, and they're always like player toxicity, and I think it's crazy that people are playing, like, tabletop role-playing games all across the world, and they're having such a different experience than the one that we have. Because it would deeply surprise all of you guys to know, I think. I know the rules very well. Like, I own copies of the player handbook, the Dungeon Master's manual, the guide. Like, I have a lot of source books. I understand the rules very well. I just don't care about them. Like, I try and teach you guys the rules so you guys can have more fun and, like, maneuver more. And that's really the only time I care about you guys knowing the rules.
Also, we don't even care about the rules. We just do what we want.
You only care about the rules when you guys think I'm being unfair. And then you're like, no. And then I'm like, literally, that's in the rule book. You can't cast two spells in one turn. You can't. No.
And then what do you call it? You know how they were all making their characters and they were like trying to put the stats in? Like, Robin was putting the stats in. I was like, that's Chris. When we were making our Heroes Forge, we only designed the characters. Actually, Chris designed most of the characters as well. Even on Heroes Forge, Chris designed most of the characters. And then she's the one who put all the stats in and everything. Like,
I didn't do that. I let you guys choose what your stats were, but we did point by, and I was like, this is how you do it. And then I finally got sick of explaining it to them because nobody cares. The only people who care about that stuff are people like me who would rather just know how to do it themselves. And then I was like, just sign up for D&D Beyond. That'll be enough. It'll be okay.
And then we did. And then, guess what? Our characters in Heroes Forge, they slayed. We look great. 10 out of 10.
And then there's me and Isabel, we watched Dimension 20 together, which I've never been interested in listening to or watching other people play Dungeons and Dragons before this summer. But then I started watching Fantasy High, and then I didn't even get Isabel into Fantasy High. What's the one that I was like, no, you have to see? Misfits and Magic.
It was Misfits and Magic, yeah.
We're literally, and Never After, we waited for Never After. We were like, oh my gosh, just 2 weeks. And we borrowed a projector from our friend Iman. Shout out to Iman, the mysterious Muzzy.
Love you, Iman.
Kisses. Do the peace. Hey, guys.
Like and subscribe.
We're obsessed with Iman, if you can't tell.
Yeah.
We call her all the time.
We actually are. We're all obsessed with Iman.
You would get it if you saw her, you guys. You would get it. She's not showing herself. She's not appearing, but she doesn't want to be exposed to toxic nerd culture. I'm not. As a matter of fact, I'm not exposing her to toxic nerd culture. You can say what you want about Nisabel, but you will not Emily Axford, my girl Iman.
It's okay. What do you call it? We're not letting them.
We're gatekeeping her.
we're not letting them near Iman because I know as soon as they see Iman, they're gonna be like a rabid. They're gonna be rabid.
They're over her.
Literally.
And it's like Iman is like that One Direction song, "You Don't Know You're Beautiful," because she's like, oh my gosh, I'm just, and we're like, you're literally, if like there's a 1 to 10, you're a 27.
Literally, modest is hottest.
Yes, I was like, oh my gosh, every time I see you, you're only at 70% of your full power.
Also, she slays every time. Like
Every single time.
every
That
outfit she
hijab is
wears,
gonna match.
exactly, literally, she's slaying everything. Like
And
she is
literally in Dungeons and
desirable.
Dragons.
She
Because
is
one thing
desirable,
about her,
and she's
she's
strong.
strong.
She's strong.
That's like 80% of her dialogue. She's like, I'm strong. Like, literally.
Any mission we do, it's, oh, can I beat them up? Because I'm strong.
And she literally puts both of her arms in the air and does like a muscle man pose every single time. I'm strong.
Strong. We actually are obsessed with Iman. I've just realized.
I think we're all to like some the people we play Dungeons and Dragons with, we're all very obsessed with each other because we haven't, I don't even think Georgie's ever come up on the podcast, even though she's our flatmate this year. She was. And she was our flat me and Andrew's flatmate last year too. And literally almost every subject, like everything that we watched, Georgie was there, along with Tori Tom. Tori Tom's not really Tori. Nisabel just thinks he has Tori cheeks. I'm sure that he doesn't, but Georgie, like literally me and Andrew quoted her every 2 minutes on our podcast last year. Like the thing where the Catwoman thing where we kept saying Michelle Pfeiffer, that came from Georgie, like so many random things. Now we're all like, I'm skinny, because Georgie is the kind of maniac who would play a dragonborn character and be like, yeah, I'm a dragonborn, don't get me wrong, I am a giant dragon person, but at the end of the day,
She's
I'm skinny.
skinny. She's skinny. Oh my God. She's gonna be a skinny legend. One thing about Georgie. Also, Georgie is the pettiest person I've ever met.
Because if any one person farts in Georgie's cupboard, she's shitting in theirs.
Not mess with Georgie. I'm pretty sure she's a witch. No one needs to know about that.
I don't think Georgie's a witch, but I do think she's capable of putting curses on people.
Yes, remember that one time we were making so much noise in karaoke, and then she was like, I cursed you to shit yourself. And guess what? We didn't shit ourselves, but it was 5 a.m. and we were shitting.
We were still hanging out because it was Thanksgiving, yeah. So big
Yeah.
Thanksgiving party. We were literally okay. I wish she had told us like that she was that sick because we made so much noise. At one point, we were doing karaoke. I think we might have played a little Just Dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're literally, it's like a what, Saturday night, middle of Wales, just loud as we want to be. We actually opened up all the windows because we're haters. The people who live above us, they suck. So wanted to make sure they heard that party.
Oh, because they always have parties, actually.
Isabel hilariously and iconically says the worst part about me doing a fake British accent is that it's like it's obvious like that I'm making fun of people and have put no effort into it. Otherwise, I would probably be really good at
Yeah, that's the part I hate. You would have been good at it, but you're obviously not trying.
I'm
So
obviously not trying.
you were trying, then you would
I
be
was
really good at it,
trying.
right?
Isabel, do your American accent for me.
So today we're watching Teen Titans Go, and they're playing a TTRPG, and I love Dungeons and Dragons. It's great. My favorite thing to watch is Dimension 20, especially Never After. It doesn't scare me at all, and Brennan isn't creepy at all. I love Brennan, BLM, Brennan Lee Mulligan.
That was insane. You're crazy. So, the whole purpose of the reason why I even brought up Dimension 20 and those Reddits is because of those Reddit posts, I kept finding out people would tell all these crazy stories about their tables and like how miserable it was just to play with other people. And I've never had that experience. Like my first go foray into, I've been playing TTRPGs for years, but my first foray into playing, I started playing Pathfinder with this group, then I started playing Dungeons and Dragons with this other group, and so that was like 2020, yeah, 2020 for Pathfinder at the beginning, and then like halfway through 2020, I was like, let me start playing Dungeons and Dragons, this seems fun, I've literally played every other kind of game just like this, why not the big one? So, like, I played with people who are significantly older than me, but also normal. So they're not gonna, I'm gonna be like, I don't know how to play. And they're not gonna be like, oh my God, noob. Oh my God, why are you just, what, you just, women are invading our spaces. No, I played with people who were normal. I don't know. That's the vibe I get from the D&D subreddit. It seems so mean. And then, like, if you look on the Dimension 20 subreddit, that place is like, it's not a pit. But it's like a lot of people hate Emily Axford. They hate Allie too, but like I get why people would hate Allie. I don't hate Allie. I don't mean it in a mean way, but like Allie seems like the exact kind of fun that would piss people off. But Emily Axford?
Hashtag stop the hate on Emily Axford.
That's my white woman of color.
That is my queen right there. She is my Iman. She is.
That is my candy queen.
That I'm gonna protect her at all costs. She is my Little Red Riding Hood.
Yes, she is my. I can't say the character that I want to say because I'm watching A Crown of Candy right now, and it's a spoiler. She is my Figaroth Faith, Figaroth the Unfaithable. Okay, she's mine. She's my, what is her crazy ass name in Never After? Ilfa Snorgelson.
Yeah.
God, that sounds so ugly. That sounds like something you hack up.
And she has pink eye. She's iconic.
She's a very nice preteen.
She is. And her husband's very lovely too.
Yes.
He plays the most pathetic character.
But one thing about him, he's gonna infuse his soul into that pathetic little man.
What was it? In Fantasy Island, he plays this little goblin creature. And
Riz Gutgak! Oh, that's my man, the ball.
In Unsleeping City, doesn't he play a rat?
Yes, he's a rat man.
He's a rat man, sorry.
No, in season 2, he plays a different character. And this is the most pathetic character I've ever seen. His name is Cody Walsh. And he's like, he calls himself the Night Angel. I want you to know, calls himself the Night Angel. And he's like a mall goth. You guys don't really have shopping malls in UK, do you?
No, but
not like the same kind of mall culture. Yeah, but he's like a Hot Topic goth. He literally used to be the manager at Hot Topic before the mall got closed down, and he's like, is literally just the most obnoxious. Like, we have to watch episode 1 of Unsleeping City 2 together, actually, just so you can experience it.
Let's watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, I was gonna say, our mall's called shopping center. Our mall is called a shopping center.
No, it's mall.
Mall.
Yeah. Sorry. Your mall's called shopping center.
Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
I can't wait to celebrate the 4th of July. I love American independence. It's my jam.
I hate to see people happy out in the colonies. You know, people over there, they claim to be part English, they're really not. They put sugar in their beans and not just tomato paste.
Oh my God,
Marto, let's go sorry.
Visit, oh my God, let's go visit Europe, you know, the whole country of Europe. I love it so much. I love the country of Europe. You know, there's Paris, there's France, and there's no school shootings.
Well, at least we don't get shot in maths class. Why are British people like that?
But we have knife crime, so I don't know what the point
like,
is.
Like, literally, and people in America fantasize about going to England, and I keep telling them that is ghetto over there. Like, I don't think people can really conceptualize it because it's so romanticized, but, like, I've been to London, and I'm like, it's terrifying. It's, like, It's like the same people who really want to go to New York, though. And it's like, maybe I'm just not a super major city girly because New York, it looks like it smells like piss. And I'm like, that's where you go to get stabbed, just like Birmingham.
You're not a mom, you're not a city girl.
I'm not a city girl. I can't handle it.
No, but as someone who lives in the UK, England specifically, it is the ghetto. Nothing is nice. Like, unless you go to a really nice city, it's really bad. Like, even London, only the nice parts are nice. Like, only the rich parts are nice. The rest of it, you will get stabbed.
You better go see
Birmingham,
the
you will
London
get
Eye and leave.
Birmingham, you will
You
get
will get
stabbed.
stabbed.
Manchester, you will get
You will get
stabbed.
stabbed.
Where else is there where
Cardiff,
you live?
actually quite nice.
Cardiff is
Not that
actually
you would
quite
know.
nice.
Ha! Because you only saw that NHS hospital. Ah!
For your information, I saw outside the hospital and it was really nice. Okay, when we were in the car, it was really nice. Okay.
So, Nisabel, would it surprise you to know that I don't give a damn about the rules of Dungeons and Dragons?
No. You've DM'd. I know how you DM.
You know what's funny? I always tell people, like, a lot of people say that they learn how to DM from, like, watching Critical Role or, like, Dimension 20 or whatever, but I started DMing before I was interested in either of those things. I only watched Critical Role because I really wanted to see Abria because I'm obsessed with her. Actually, no, I watched Critical Role years ago, one episode. They did a thing with Vin Diesel to promote The Last Witch Hunter, but other than that, like, I was never interested. I didn't understand that it was like a big thing either. I was like, who would watch that? But a lot of people say they learn a DM from watching like Matt or Brennan or XYZ person. Would you say that it's so obvious that I did not learn from watching another person?
I think it's obvious, and I think you're a bit of a nerd for reading the whole handbook and learning how to DM through that. Don't be a loser, Chris.
No, the only reason why I asked that is because my friend literally told me word for word, it's so obvious that you learned how to do this from reading the book. And I was like, what do you think she meant by that? Because she refused to elaborate.
I think the way you DM, it is very obvious that you do it from the book because like it's just your way of doing it, you know? I don't think like what do you call it? I don't think if you like learn to DM from Brennan or Matt Mercer, I don't think it would like be yours. And I think that because you read that handbook, it's kind of like your own way of DMing, you know? You made it your own, and I like it. Because we're not like, what do you call it? We're not Dimension 20, we're not Critical Role. We're just a group of friends who likes Dungeons and Dragons.
I think
Ew.
that's where a lot of ew, yeah. Did you hear Iman? She's like, yeah, I used to have like a lame perspective on it, but then you showed me. She's such an icon.
He said, "We are nerds."
She was like, oh, I guess we means me.
She said, "Fine, I'll embrace nerd culture."
Oh my gosh, I want to see Iman at a Comic-Con so bad. Oh my gosh, guys, I'm so excited to embrace nerd culture. I've learned so much about nerd culture, yeah.
But the thing is, she watches anime. She reads mangas, so
Well,
she
she's
is a nerd.
Asian. You can't
She's
say
not
that it's
Japanese. She's not
okay, but
Japanese.
neither. Ooh. Sorry, we just know a Russian weeaboo. And it's like we met her the same year that the war started. We met her like right before that. Well, I met her like right before that. It was so crazy because it's like 1 week.
Was the
Yeah, so 1 week
difference?
we're gonna go see Doctor Strange, and the next week your country is invading. And
Anyways,
what are you doing in this trying time? We've
learning Japanese.
to stop making fun of people. I don't know, but jokes aside, like I feel like that's where a lot of people mess up when they're playing like tabletop. They either are trying to be like the next Matt Mercer or Ben Lee Mulligan, or like they play games like they're auditioning to be on Critical Role. And I'm like, you know you can just have fun, right? I have fun.
Exactly. And it's great. It's great. 10 out of 10. Except for when we annoy the shit out of you. That's really funny. That's the fun part. Me and Andrew And sometimes Georgie, but I don't think Georgie means it in a malicious way, but me and Andrew mean it in a malicious way.
No, the sad thing is most of the time Andrew doesn't either. And I'm like, you're the only one who's antagonizing me. Andrew's like, so when are we going to this wedding?
Okay, I'm doing it maliciously, purposely annoy Chris.
Wait, no, out of everybody auditioning to be on Dimension 20, Nisabel wants to be the next Emily Axford. Nisabel is what these nerds think Emily Axford is. And Nisabel's like, yeah, I'm going to hit them with my bagpipes. And then I'm going to cast this spell. And then I'm like, no, you can't do that. That's against the rules.
Unless
it's cool
me.
Enough.
But you let me.
If
you
it's
let
cool me enough, I'll let y'all do anything.
She let me do the bagpipes. I don't think she let me do the spell though.
No, I didn't let you, because you can't cast the spell. Like, you attack. You get one attack. That's it.
Okay, I didn't know that. Okay. Who reads
I told
the
you
rules?
That. Not only did I not care if they read the rules, I found a little 5-page brief of the rules and an infograph on how to attack and do like cast a spell. I literally found pictures and sent them to them ahead of time and was like, literally, here's this thing. But then I read them the rules, like the very basic. They're all hustlers and schemers and scammers. But the first time that we played the current campaign, which we really should get back on, because I planned this heist and then it's like none of us could get together. And now they've actually released, what is it, Keys from the Golden Vault. And you know,
you got
I got keys
gift.
From the Golden Vault as a gift.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, so I purposely antagonize Chris, because I think, oh, who said it? Was it Brendan that said if you watched enough episodes of Dimension 20?
Yeah, it was Brendan. If you watched a full season of Dimension 20, you know how to DM.
And I was like, I made that my mission. That's why I literally watched a full season of Dimension 20, or like enough episodes that I finally got how Emily Axford was playing, and I was like, this is how I'm gonna play. I'm gonna be like this.
And it's like, the thing is, Emily Axford can do that stuff because Emily Axford understands all the rules. And I think Emily Axford understands the rules better than almost everybody just playing.
And she does, and I don't. And it's really funny. And Chris
gets
mad.
She's like, no, I'm going to play these bagpipes so hard that their head explodes. You don't have a spell for that. So take your little level 2 spells and figure it out.
And it's not even like spells or attacks or anything. Sometimes it's just the conversations that I have, that my character has with Chris. Chris is like, got these all planned out, got all the characters planned out.
Wait, and then Georgie's like, I'm like, okay, so you're in the tavern, what do you want to do? And she's like, I want to speak to the 12-year-old bartender. And that's what we mean by saying Georgie's a menace. Like, she just, this is not malicious. This is just, like, this is just what she wants to do. She's like, there should be a 12-year-old bartender.
My favorite bit about Georgie playing is the fact that she would not let go of the coat. She outdid you, actually, with no malicious intent. She outdid you, and she got that coat.
I said, yeah, oh, you're collecting coats for a charity. And she's like, what's the charity? I'm like, I don't know, make something up. She's like, oh, can it be for children? I'm like, yeah, you're the sponsor of an orphanage. She's like, coats for children. If you don't give me your coat, you hate children. It's like the coat. It's supposed to be used coat. She's like, give me the coat off your back. You want the children to use.
And then she wanted a pin or something. Like,
this lady was like, oh, my girlfriend gave me this pin. I can't give you the pin. And she's like, wow, so you just hate children. And she's like, literally, like, imagine finding a priestess, like, just grabbing one off the street, convincing her to give you her holy cloak. And I only did that because she rolled a nat 20. I was like, yeah, you can have it. But that cloak, she's like, well, now I need a pin. Oh, and the reason why she wanted the cloak is because she outmaneuvered me. She's like, so does your religious order accept charities? I'm like, oh yeah, we totally do. And she's like, so would you say having the gold cloak gives you authority? And I was like, yeah, I guess it's a symbol. It's like a holy symbol. And she's like, so if you have the cloak, people will give you things.
And that's how she did it. Also, Georgie has, we don't know how Georgie got this horse, okay?
And what's the horse's name?
Her name is Camilla McCore's face. And she is so iconic. Because also, context, Georgie's Welsh. Oh, she hates English. She
And
hates
the
English.
funniest part about this is that, like, this is like a month after the queen died.
Camilla McCourt's face. Oh my God.
Like,
Iconic.
the uni we go to, I don't think Charles went there, but like, he's been there in the past. And so everybody kept talking about coronation, and they're like, oh, Charles is gonna come, Charles is gonna come, Charles is gonna come. And she was like, not on my watch.
Oh, if
I don't know. The.
she's shitting on him, she's shitting on him.
Just like if somebody farted in her cup, I should mention that the farting in the cupboard thing, that unfortunately is a thing that I didn't fart in that girl's cupboard.
Yes, you
I
did.
did not. It's like not like I opened it up and farted in it, but she had a little bit of an attitude, so I farted on her kitchen cupboard in passing. I don't, and it came up during Dungeons and Dragons, and Georgie said, "Anybody farts in my cupboard, I'm shitting in theirs." And I said, "So we had to get more." The worst part about talking to Georgie is that you have to get more explanation because of the way Georgie speaks completely monotonously. And like people tell me that I have a monotone voice, it's just upbeat. So everything I say sounds upbeat, but everything Georgie says, it kind of sounds like this, but Welsh.
Also, she has random traumatizing facts.
Always dramatic. They're always dramatic. Like, you have heard the story about the white production of Hairspray with people in spray tans, and just everything about white hairspray is distressing.
Before I got my first tattoo, she told me that her friend's dad did tattoos and everyone got hepatitis. And I was like, what? And I was like, excuse me. And then she was like, yeah, turns out he didn't throw away the ink.
Like he was
And
getting clean needles, but he was reusing the ink, so everybody got hepatitis. And then she
when
said
he
they didn't even get shut down.
literally, I had Chris going, you're sitting, and then Georgie telling me that everyone's gonna get hepatitis. And I was like, oh my God, maybe I shouldn't get a tattoo.
You stood out in a long line, got called a nonce, had to go back another day, and then somewhere in the middle of that, we went and saw Black Panther.
It was probably like the day after, or like 2 days after, probably.
Yeah, no, I think you had just took the wrapper off, actually. I don't know, Black Panther, we were in our bag for that because in the UK, you're encouraged to bring your own food to the movies. So me and Nisabel aren't normal. So we're like, you know what we really slay? Some salmon. So we had salmon and egg fried rice. And then I think we had like apples as snacks along with some crisps. We had Walkers, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
We brought prawn cocktail for Iman. They're disgusting, but shout out to our girly and soda.
Also, we are very unhinged because we spent a whole week going, oh my God, should we make food for our friends? And then we realized we don't have to make food for anyone. We can just make food for
For
ourselves.
each other, yeah. And then
Yeah.
we got there like an hour and a half early because we're like, oh my gosh, every other time we've ever gone to the movies here, there's been a line. Like, Isabel was waiting in line when we went to our Doctor Strange, but like we cut that line because of Iman, we were stupid late, and it was like we were about to go inside, and then Isabel's like, "Oh my God, guys!"
Literally, we were waiting in line for Doctor Strange, and I was like, oh my God, where are they? They said they were going to be here 15 minutes ago. I see them walking like so casually. Everyone was going in, and I was like, oh my God, are you guys serious? And we took forever to find a seat like together. Also, in the cinema that we have, it's like open seating.
Yeah, it's open seating. And they have an old school like concession stand inside. So what's the thing is, they always shut off the lights like they're gonna have intermission, and they should because these movies are too long nowadays. Turn it off.
I was raised in Bollywood movies, so it's not long for me. I'm just great. You wish you could be me.
I don't like surgery, so
No, you telling my business on the internet.
Nisabel had a BBL in Cardiff. She wanted to be
Actually,
just like her role model, Taylor Swift.
oh my God, I can't believe we had that conversation. No, okay, first of all, I didn't have a
She's trying to be
BBL.
wasted and aspic.
I didn't have a BBL, first of all.
Just liposuction. She was
I
just
had
telling us.
liposuction, okay?
I was getting liposuction. I'm a fraud!
I want to be skinny.
Now you're promoting unrealistic body standards. Anyway, back to
Everything.
TTRPG.
Oh yeah, what?
So what's your we're
we're
really
really bad at conversations. I think all of our conversations always end up going sideways because I think it's the neurodivergency. Yeah.
Period.
Okay.
So
Let's go.
your background in tabletop role-playing games is just Dungeons and Dragons for right now, but are there any other systems that you're really excited about like getting into? Like, do you want to play Pathfinder or maybe like Kids on Bikes, Kids on Brooms, any of that?
Oh, I want to play Kids on Brooms. That's the one I want to play.
You just want to live out those mismatched dreams.
Yeah, I do actually. Secret Society? No.
Good Society.
Good Society. Good Society is another one. I don't want to do Kids on Bike as well. I don't know. I don't think I want to do that as much as Kids on Brooms.
Kids on Bikes, like they use the same like the same core system. Kids on Bikes is really fun, but I thought it was when I first played it. I've only played it a couple times, but I thought it was influenced by Paper Girls. But it didn't occur to me that Stranger Things was a thing, and then I was like, oh, this is supposed to be like Stranger Things.
You were like,
I mean, Stranger Things is a show about some little boys in the 80s. So I've seen it because there was a hot guy on season two, but then he was racist. So it's like, oh, well, then I didn't even see what I wanted to see. So I just never watched it. And Patton Oswalt got killed in like the last episode. And I was like, what the hell? So I watched all of season one and all of season two only for that stuff to happen. And then I was traumatized. I couldn't sleep. And then on top of that, I was like traumatized. I could not go outside at night because I was like, they're going to get me. I got in a pool like a month after I watched Stranger Things, and I was looking over the side with my feet in, and then I like almost screamed because I was like, oh my god, it's gonna be like Barb, they're gonna get me.
Well, they do play D&D in the first episode, obviously. That's literally the whole point. They all name the names of the villains are all
yeah the
D&D.
Demogorgon, Vecna.
Yeah.
Apparently that's that guy who used to play King Arthur. You know how I was telling you about the Mortal Instruments books and how I read
Yes.
them? And okay,
yes.
The guy who plays the Vecna guy, he was
Yeah,
in
I
the
know.
City of Bones.
Yeah, I know. He was the incest boy. He was the incest.
Well, technically he wasn't part of the incest, but you know who else was in that movie?
Jace,
Robert
Jace.
Sheehan.
Yes. Oh my god. I found that out and I was like, oh my god, he played Simon? What? I was like, that's such a random role to give Robert
I
Sheehan.
know, that's what I was thinking. Just like the villain is that guy. You know, I told you I was obsessed with that show, The Tudors. The guy who plays Henry VIII is the dad slash the villain in the City of Bones movie. That was such a random cast movie. I don't remember who the main girl was, but it's like she wasn't giving serving, so I didn't pay attention to her.
It's giving serving. What do you call it? No, it's your favorite Lily, not Lily James, Lily Collins that played Thingy.
Girl, shut the hell up.
No.
Was it really? Oh my god, I think it was, because I think I saw that like right after or right before I saw Mirror Mirror, where I was like, not for me, but go off, sis. But I just remember I was like, this movie is not giving serving.
It is. It's Lily Collins. She was Clary. And then what do you call it?
Clary.
Clary. And then Jamie Campbell was Jace and Robert Sheen was Simon. And Lena Headey was Jocelyn Frey. Oh my
yeah,
god.
Yeah, that's the mom. Not Cersei
iconic.
Lannister. Oh my god.
Cersei
It's
Lannister.
like she's just attracted to incest.
She is.
Because incest brother sister, incest brother sister. It's like it all came full circle.
Oh my god.
Like flowers in the attic.
Oh my god. Oh my god. You know what? Something about that. Oh my god. I found that out when I was what, like 13 years old. I was like, what the hell is this? Because I was watching, because you know, I was poor, so I didn't have Disney Channel like or anything. So I was just like watching a random movie channel. I watched it. Flowers in the Attic came. I was like, what the hell is this? They were kissing! The brothers were kissing. It was disgusting. It was Kiernan Shipka as well. Dirty.
Who's Kiernan
disgusting.
Shipka?
The girl that plays Sabrina, the teenage witch.
Have I ever told you that the reason why I never watched Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, other than the fact that I thought it looked bad, was because I forced Alana and Andrew to read. I started reading Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, the comic, got a weird vibe, and then convinced them that they also wanted to read it. So we were all reading it at the same time. And at one point, Sabrina's dad wanted to bone her. He was literally in Harvey's body after the aunts killed Harvey. And then I think they might have eaten him. They kind of do an allusion to that. And then she gets with Betty and Veronica to, they're also witches. They bring Harvey back to life. And then, but it wasn't Harvey. It was Edward Spellman, her dad, who was in hell. And then he's in Harvey's body. And at one point he's holding on to her. And I think she was gonna kiss him, but she like put her head on his chest and he was thinking, he's like, oh my God, her body is so supple. I was traumatized.
Ew. I mean, they do that. They do that in the show, but
oh my God.
Instead of Edward Spellman being her dad is Lucifer, the devil himself. Instead of it being Harvey, she has another boyfriend called Nick. And yeah, basically, it was so weird. It was so weird because literally, Harvey's played by Rosalind. But anyways, I was gonna say, so it was really weird because there was a scene and it was like Sabrina come to daddy, and it was like, what do you call it, the boyfriend, but then it was the dad's voice, and I was like, that's disgusting. Oh, that's disgusting. That's porn. That's
Sabrina
porn.
Come to
That's
daddy.
Disgusting. That's incest. Ew. Oh, you were frozen for a second. I was like, what the fuck is going on? Okay, but yeah, Flowers in the Attic traumatized me as a kid. I even read the synopsis on Wikipedia. I was like, that's disgusting. He looked at, that's your sister, that's your sister, and he was looking at her wearing a bra. It was disgusting. Never in my life.
Isabel, I would like for you to tell me about your tabletop role-playing game aspirations. I know you said you're interested in being a dungeon master, like you want a dungeon master good society, but you've also been working on developing your own game called Vaccinate the Auntie.
Yes, this is my game plan. This is my mastermind of a plan. I love it. I hope this becomes famous. Actually, no. I hope anyone who is brown plays this and they have a nice laugh about this. Basically, Vaccinate the Aunties is a little game that I made in my little brainy brain. It's where you have, the goal is to vaccinate your auntie. If you don't know what an auntie is in people of color culture, they are usually your relatives or just people you know who are just older than you, most likely middle-aged women, and your mom compares their children to you a lot. So that's what an auntie is, and they are like most likely your mom's best friend. Anyways, your mom can be an auntie as well. So anyone can be an auntie.
In this game, you are the
auntie.
In
this game, you are the auntie. You have to create obstacles for... you have to create obstacles to avoid getting vaccinated, because the objective of the game is to vaccinate the auntie, obviously. But everyone is an auntie and they're all playing different caricatures of different aunties. There's the Illuminati, which I stole from Ms. Marvel. They can't sue me. But there's the Illuminati, which is the conspiracy auntie.
Aren't you literally a lawyer? Like, you're training to be a lawyer. You like admit that you stole it and then said they can't sue me. Like, that's admission of guilt.
You can cut that out.
I'm not.
I didn't steal that from Ms. Marvel. It's just a common caricature. And then there's the critical auntie, which is most aunties anyways. And then there's the, this is your mom. This is your mom, okay? This auntie is your mom. This is it.
I thought you meant my mom specifically. And I was like...
Not your mom, but it's just like someone's mom.
Everyone's mom.
Everyone's mom, basically. Yeah, and then what do you call it? There's the suspicious auntie. And each auntie has like a niche elaborate conspiracy, and they have to stop the aunties from enacting the conspiracies. Oh, depending on which one is the imposter. Oh my god. I'm getting chills. Can you
We
guys
took
feel
notes
it?
about this, like, was it like 4 or 5 months ago? It was crazy because I think we're also drunk as hell. And we were like, oh my
I think
gosh, what
so.
if one auntie is the imposter and she's trying to stop you from getting
There is an auntie that is the imposter. And basically, there is a wine auntie, there's the cleric auntie who's the religious auntie, the Karen auntie, the barbarian, the shop auntie slash the multi-level marketing auntie, the rogue, and the Filipino auntie's the bard. The auntie that is a ranger is the shoe thrower and has a shoe that has come back like a boomerang. But anyways, basically the whole point is to vaccinate the aunties, but then there's an imposter in the mix. The imposter auntie is trying to stop them from being vaccinated, but the end goal is to be vaccinated. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and we were trying to figure out a way to make the game collaborative so everybody can play it once and you don't need a dungeon master. Because I just imagine getting that card, you're the imposter. Yeah.
It's like what do you call it? Werewolf.
Or
That
like
game. Mafia,
Mafia.
mafia, mafia. Yeah, that's it.
We play Mafia, but we're not good at it. Or like, we're good at playing, but we're just.
Oh, I was, what do you call it? Oh, I wrote, I wanted to write the Good Society method because there's a rumor aspect of it. So
Oh,
they're
the
spreading
epistolary
rumors.
and like,
Yeah.
oh, I think instead of, if you wanted to adapt that part, I was watching Rebecca Scott's Call of Cthulhu thing
Yeah.
with Good Society. Well, it's not Good Society, I don't think. I think it's just it's just Regency Call of Cthulhu anyway. And I was thinking about Good Society, and there, you know how they have that epistolary phase or whatever where you write letters? I think a phone call.
Yes. Okay, I love
That
that.
and then
I'm
you get to
writing that
have,
up.
but the thing is, you have to like, you get points based on where you have the phone call and like if you're on speakerphone or not.
I'm getting that.
Write that down, so vaccinate the auntie coming to you guys on Dungeon Masters Guild soon. We're gonna find a way to get paid off this. I'm a co-writer because I gave up. I was like, no, you have to give them character classes, and she's like, oh my god, yes. The cleric auntie heals you by putting her hands on you and speaking
Yeah. Oh, I just wrote Jehovah's Witness for some reason. Why did I write that?
Because
I
you
don't
can
know.
choose what kind of cleric auntie you are based on your own religious trauma, okay?
Oh my God, magic auntie items, big purse, gold chain, candy, packed lunches, sandals, wooden spoon, a belt.
You know what pop my butt meant to an auntie?
I will. Anyways, yeah, so that's my little
Your magnum
idea.
opus.
This is my magnum opus,
And I know
and
you play a bard in my campaign. Are there any other character classes that you're particularly interested in?
I am never gonna be poor, so I'm always gonna be a noble. I'm also gonna be a rich. But I think I wanna be an elf. An elf? Oh my God,
Oh,
what
because
is
you play
that?
Genasi, right?
Yeah, I play Genasi. So, oh, actually, a bard, a barbarian. I think I want to be a cleric as well. But I don't want to be poor, so I'm not doing that.
You're like, I'm a cleric, like I praise God and all that, but I still need money.
Yeah, basically. But I don't know. I think I'm pretty good at being a bard. I haven't really thought anything of,
I
like,
think
what do you call it?
you're a bard until you get through another season of Dimension 20, and then you're whatever Emily Axford is in that season.
You're not wrong, okay? You're not wrong. It's either gonna be something Emily is or something Allie is, because I love them both. But
No,
anyways,
no.
but it's definitely gonna be Emily's. It's gonna be Emily. I'm gonna copy Emily. But anyways, I was gonna say, what do you call it? Oh, what was I gonna say? I was gonna say I'm very invested in my D&D character. Me and Chris have spent nights coming up with lore, very deep lore, very intricate lore.
And nobody else, they're like, psh.
Nobody else has come up with lore as much as we have. We have come up with the best lore, and I love it.
We literally have a whole genealogy. We've got everything. Also, I gave everybody a free, like, a magic item, and Nisabelle's was literally like, what, privilege.
Because I'm never gonna be poor, okay?
And you're never gonna get the. I did I ever tell you I came up with that because I was playing a noble in another game, and somebody was like, "Oh yeah, you've got this ring, and it gives you diplomatic immunity." And we all were gonna get arrested, and that was part of the plot. But I was like, "Oh," and I shook my hand like Beyonce and Sigla. So I was like, "Ah, can't be me."
Oh my
But
god.
then unfortunately I had to bail everybody out, so you know. So I guess that's all for this week's episode of True Believers. I want to thank everybody for all their support, and if everything goes according to plan, Alana and I really will be back next week to discuss volumes 3 and 4 of Die. Thank you so much for being here with me today, Isabel.
You're welcome.
Would you like to come back?
Yes, obviously I want to come back. I've been begging Chris to be part of this podcast. I've always wanted to be part of a podcast, and I want to come back. And I hope I do really good. I hope you guys like me. Okay.
She's trying to get chose. She wants to replace Andrew so bad.
I am not Ice Spice, okay? I haven't got chose yet, but you know.
But you still can lose.
Yeah, I can't lose, okay? How can I lose if I'm already chose?
Thank you for that, Niz. True Believers is available on all major streaming platforms, and we are a member of the Hall of Pods Podcasting Alliance. It can be found in the link tree below, along with links to our various social media accounts. And as always, if you want to leave a suggestion on what we read or watch, you can find and DM us, email us at number1truebelieverspod@gmail.com, or join our Discord. Thank you very much.
Like and subscribe. I stole that from my mom.
Hit that like and subscribe, guys.
Okay, that's perfect.